before we chant it, what's the situation here? The situation is that Vidura, before the war of Kurukshetra, comes to his brother Dhritarashtra and sees the son and tells him, don't make this war. And do you know that the cause of the war is your rascal son Duryodhana, who cannot give the Pandava their rightful share? Now, after Duryodhana hears how he gets the sauce, so to say, from Vidura, who really only wants to avert or avoid the biggest manslaughter which took place in the history of mankind, he becomes angry. As it is said, if you give a fool good instructions, he will turn against the one who instructs him for his own good. And he becomes very offensive. It is said he swells with anger, and his lips begin to tremble. And then he says, who asked him to come here, this son of a kept mistress? Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him only with his breath. And now we see Vidura's amazing reaction to this offense, and we will chant it a little bit. Not so long, but a little bit. Svayam Hanur Badi Hidaya Mayam Ratu Puro Mamasu Tadito Api Sa Itam Adyulvana Ganapanir Gatavyato Ya Uru Manayana. Thus being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme.
Why are the windows closed? We have talked now 3 times about it. During the lecture they should be a little open.
A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. A conditioned soul is absorbed in material existence under the influence of different modes of external energy. Absorbed in the false ego, he thinks that he is doing everything by himself. The external energy of the Lord, the material nature, is fully under the control of the Supreme Lord, and the conditioned soul is fully under the grip of the external energy. Therefore, the conditioned soul is fully under the control of the law of the Lord. But due to illusion only, he thinks himself independent in his activities. Duryodhana was acting under such influence of the external nature, by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, He insulted that great soul, who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path towards his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yet he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. Very interesting. And Duryodhana got very angry on Vidura. And Vidura thought about this anger of Duryodhana and how to react to this. Just a little while ago, a devotee told me that when he was on book distribution, he was violently attacked by someone. Now, this devotee had learned to defend himself in the school of karate, and he had to now think what would be his reaction on being so violently attacked. Now, Vidura's reaction is very interesting. I will read it again because it's so amazing that most probably all of us have... It was too fast. Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path towards his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yet he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, the mercy of Duryodhana. And instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. The word gatavyata, without being sorry, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow, because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted here both internally and externally. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityaname Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Jayanya Prabhu Nityananda This verse is so very interesting and relevant to our particular situation in this world. Yesterday I was asking a devotee, how are you? And the devotee said, bad, very bad. And I accepted this guru, this devotee as my guru. At least in regards to bringing out a point this morning's lecture, which, when we understand it properly, can turn our whole life in a different direction. It is one of the greatest mistakes of the conditioned souls to expect happiness at a place which is described by the Lord as being miserable. Krishna says that, describes this material world as dukalayam and ashashvatam. It means full of misery and temporary. But at the same time, we all have the feeling to become happy. We want to be not miserable, but we want to be full of happiness and joy. This is very natural, because inside of us we have all a remembrance of the spiritual world, where we are engaged in loving exchanges with Krishna. It is natural to want to be happy. It's not wrong to be happy. It's our birthright to be happy. However, when we look in this material world for arrangements to become happy, either we only see misery, or we see some temporary type of happiness which after some time turns into misery. The example of Govindadas is, for this temporary happiness, is a leaf of a drop of water on a leaf. The drop of water can fall down any moment when the wind comes and shakes the leaf. So in the same way, in material world, if we do find some happiness, it is flickering, flackerhaft in Deutsch. Now, whenever happiness or our expectations to become happy are rewarded with misery, we usually become depressed. Do you know this? You want to be happy, you want everything to go right, and then when it goes wrong, we become depressed. Again, it did not work out. Again, I was looking for happiness, but all I got was misery. Again, my expectations were cruelly destroyed, and our head begins to hang down, and our whole spirit is a little down. However, there is a secret in spiritual life. When we see some crisis, then we can remember that this crisis is Krishna and become happy even in a crisis or even in a source of unhappiness. Now, because this is such a far out sentence, crisis is Krishna, and if you see Krishna in the crisis, you're happy. This needs explanation. I have lectured in my Life in Krishna Consciousness many times about it, but a few months ago I read the 88th chapter of the 10th canto, and came about a verse and an explanation by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which will form much of this morning's lecture. The reason why a crisis can be Krishna is because crisis gives us a good opportunity to turn to Krishna and to see his hand behind everything. The usual conditioned soul is in Maya. He's covered by the external energy, and as a result, he develops many material desires which draw him towards material life. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that all conditioned souls have an iron chain around their neck. You might say, well, I can't see. Gaura Singha has a scarf, a nice brahmachari scarf around his neck, not an iron chain. I can't see. Maybe Gaura Singha has given up the chain. I do not know, but if he is still a conditioned soul, he will have an invisible iron chain around his neck. This iron chain is the chain of desire. All of us, let us think a little bit how our desire was drawing us to do many things in this world, to go to the university and study, to become married. Our desires were drawing us to do things which we used to do before Krishna consciousness. Our desires, we hear from the Shastras, have also drawn us into this present body in which you are sitting here in this, on this temple floor. Yes? Every one of the conditioned soul has this iron chain of desires around his neck, which drag him since time immemorial. This chain is a production of Maya. It's called the Prakshipatmika Shakti, the drawing force of Maya, and it is manifested in forms, in the form of material desires, which are very strong and which drag one to seek happiness in this world. Now, when a devotee turns to Krishna, then Maya shows him a different face. You must know that Maya is described as the superior energy of the Lord, and she has two faces. One looks this way and one looks that way. The face which a conditioned soul, or the face which the conditioned soul sees, is the face of material attraction. Maya, sweet smile, come here, and she pulls us to come here. That's the face of Maya, which is called Mahamaya. Mahamaya has a lot of shminka on her face. Shminka is the Serbo-Croatian word for shminke, for makeup. And she is instilling material desires in our heart. That's her first phase. But there is another phase of Maya, which is not with the shminka of material desires. This is the yoga Maya aspect of the energy, which pulls us also, but not into the material energy, but back to Krishna. I have taken a nice song for you. I cannot sing it, unfortunately, although it would be nice, because I have only the English here. It's a prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, "Oh Maya, when will you show mercy to me by lifting up the curtain of illusion with which you shroud the universe in your external form of Mahamaya?" Bhaktivinoda says that there is a curtain of Mahamaya before us, and he wants that this curtain is drawn up so that we can clearly see. Then he says, "I have heard of your glories and activities from the Vedic literature. You take all those souls who are averse to Krishna," that is, averse means against Krishna, "and bind them within the material world. You know, you make them prisoners. You bind these souls who are against Krishna. But to that person whose good fortune gradually dawns, allowing him to again become favorably disposed to Krishna, you award liberation and make him free from all grief and fear. Now my question to you is, what do you think does good fortune here mean? It says you drag the souls in this material world, but someone who has good fortune, you cut the chain, you award liberation and make him free from all grief and fear. What does good fortune mean here? To meet the pure devotee. Any other? To get the seed of bhakti from the pure devotee. To be able to take shelter of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Any other?
To perform devotional activities.
To perform devotional activities. Yes, it is. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Bhagyavan, or good fortune which someone gets, is really the seed of devotional service, which are the methods how to engage in Krishna consciousness. And it is described, like you have said, that one obtains this seed from a dear devotee of Krishna. So to such a person who has got this, he becomes liberated. And then the last verse which I want to read from this song to you. Oh my dear mother, Bhaktivinoda calls Maya his mother. My dear mother, showing your causeless mercy to this servant, give me a place in Vrindavan, for you are Yoga Maya herself, the internal energy of yoga or union. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. So these are the two phases of Maya. Which one do you want? Thorsten. I want Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya. Yes. I think we all want that Yoga Maya kindly smiles upon us and takes by her energy liberates us from these material desires which bind us to this material world, and so that we can go back home, back to Krishna. I think we all want this. Now, if you want to look into the face of Yoga Maya, to see that energy which brings you to the Lord, you will have to learn to see Krishna in this material energy, or better, behind this material energy. And you have to learn to see Krishna, especially in the when there is some distress in your life. See, when one is happy in one's life, a devotee becomes also very powerful, or let me say inspired usually, for his chanting. It is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that if you want to chant the holy names nicely, you should have a feeling of joy in your heart. It shouldn't be like a struggle. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, honey, honey. It doesn't work like this. It should be, I'm so happy to be in Krishna consciousness and that I can chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare. So a feeling of joy should be in the heart. It should be, you know, so tense and so much in the mode of passion and all this. So in joy, when we have joy, it's not so difficult to turn to Krishna. When we are joyful, we can dance in the kirtan, we can talk easily with the devotees. But sometimes we are also distressed, and then it's very difficult. And our mind only thinks I, me, mine. I am distressed, me is distressed, this is my distress, and it continues in circles and circles and circles and circles. And when one is distressed, very often one is weak spiritually, and it's very difficult to turn in the first. Let me say, it's not so easy sometimes in our lives. But if you can see that this distress is sent by you to you by Krishna, your whole perception will change. Now, the question is, why should we think this distress is sent by Krishna to us? I mean, doesn't Krishna send us happiness? We pray each day for a good life. Why should God send us distress? This is sometimes asked, Gaura Singha. Why should God, who is merciful, send distress to his devotees? The devotee tries his best, and then at the reward he sent distress. I don't want such a God. This is some people say. So Vishwanath Chakravarti responds to this. Yes, my dear brother, this makes good sense what you say. Medyutam. But you are not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. It is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. He gives now many examples how after something bad, something good comes. After dark night, when you see the sun rising, oh, Krishna, this might take some time still. after the sun, it is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. During the hot summer, that cold water gives comfort. And during the cold winter months, that warm water is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. I think we all know when we are very hungry, and then we come to the temple, and then there is some nice Ekadasi break fast food. We hope in the morning that Krishna has not forgotten us. Then when we are very hungry, then this food becomes so valuable in our lives. We are become extremely inspired by it. That even a long lecture becomes tolerable just by thinking about it. That there will be food. So, in other words, to strengthen the devotee's appreciation of Krishna, the Lord sometimes makes the devotee go through apparent misery. I have seen many of you in my life who, when they went through a phase of suffering, and when they manage to turn to Krishna, their appreciation of Krishna consciousness was almost double. Almost double. Just like if after a hungry phase in our life, our appreciation for prasadam is almost double. Maybe even three times. Because all of a sudden, oh, you have a piece of bread, German bread and butter. Some devotees who are in India and have no access to German bread and butter, when they finally get it, they almost, the lips go like and then they go for it. Very. So this is how, why Krishna sometimes purposefully, normally we forget about bread and butter, nothing special really, but in a specific situation we remember this. So in this way, Krishna's mercy is sometimes shown to a devotee, by letting him go through some special type of suffering, so that the devotee then turns to Krishna. And when we turn to Krishna, either in happiness or in distress, our life is really solved. Many times we think, oh, I have so much problem. But do you know that you have no problem at all? How so, Sachinanda Swami? Explain, please. Listen, Prabhupada Kajet, Prabhupada says, everyone is thinking, oh, there are so many problems I have to solve. But he has no problem. His only problemski is how to accept Krishna. That's all. Hare Krishna. And Krishna is so kind. He says, yes, you accept me. Simply chant Krishna. I am yours. That's all. Prabhupada says in this passage 2 times or 3 times. That's all. It's very simple. When we turn to Krishna, that is the solution for our life. A wonderful example for this is Arjuna. You know, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was attacked, or Arjuna's sons, the Pandavas' 5 sons, were mercilessly killed in the night while they were sleeping by Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama always thought of revenge, revenge, revenge is sweet. And then one night he bent sleeplessly under a tree and he heard some noise. And he looked up and he saw an owl. You know an owl? They hunt in the night, oiler. That oil came into the tree where many pigeons were sleeping. And she killed one, not chicken, pigeon. One sleeping pigeon after the other. Till they all fell down on the floor, then the owl had a feast. And Ashwatthama saw this and he got inspired. Yes, this is what I do. I kill the sleeping sons and warriors in the Pandava camp. This will be my pleasure. This will be my revenge. So he went inside and did this. And in the morning, Draupadi was the first one who saw this. And she she cried. They were all her own sons. And then Arjuna was called and he immediately gave the oath. I will kill he who has done this heinous act. And he went with Krishna on his chariot behind Ashwatthama. And when Ashwatthama saw him, he tried to escape, but Arjuna's chariot came closer and closer because Arjuna's horses were faster and Krishna was driving them closer and closer. And Ashwatthama saw, oh no, what can I do? I have to kill this Arjuna. But he has many wonderful astras. I must use the most heavy weapon which is there in the world. I must use the Brahmastra and kill Arjuna. And he threw it. And it was coming, and this Brahmastra was so powerful that it could annihilate the whole universe. Now Arjuna saw this Brahmastra coming and he knew he was powerless against it. And in this total distress, fearing for his life, the Brahmastra came closer and closer. He turned to Krishna with a wonderful shloka which we have written down here and which I would like you to chant because this will help you to be a little bit more awake. Krishna Krishna Mahabaho,
Krishna Krishna Mahabaho,
Bhaktanam Abhayankara. Ameko Dayamanana.
Ameko Dayamanana.
Abhavagahi
Sanskrite.
Sanskrite means in the midst of material miseries. So Arjuna said, O my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. This is a typical verse where a devotee can turn towards Krishna in misery. He says, you can liberate everyone who is burning in the flames of material misery. No. There is no limit to your different energies. So when a devotee can see behind everything, this is what Arjuna did. He took the advice of Krishna. Krishna told him what to do, and then Arjuna sent a second Brahmastra which neutralized the first and withdraw both of them, made them neutral, so to say, or not dangerous anymore. Now, to turn to Krishna when we are in misery requires a new angle, a certain recognition that Krishna can do everything. The normal person who gets misery turns against Krishna. He says, oh, why did you send this God? Or why did you not take it away from me, this misery? But a devotee knows, I should have gotten much more, but this what I have now is a reminder, an inavung, that I can turn to Krishna. And when a devotee does this, something wonderful happens. The Lord comes to the protection of his devotee. I want to end by giving an example of this from Chaitanya Leela. When Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas, he wanted to go, or he went to Puri, and on the way he saw one governor called Ramachandra Khan. When Ramachandra Khan saw the ecstasy in which Lord Chaitanya was chanting, he offered his dandavat, obeisances to the Lord, and begged him, my dear Lord, please give me the treasure of love of God. And Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, transformed him into a devotee. So then next morning, Lord Chaitanya wanted to go and continue his travels to Puri, but Ramachandra Khan said, no, don't go. Don't go, because the next kingdom is ruled by a terrible king who likes to kill all pilgrims. He has put tridents, these are swords, tridents at the right second, like pikes or lances, in the ground, and on the tridents there are the dead heads of the pilgrims which he had killed. Some of the pilgrims he puts on the swords and on the lances, and the lances go totally through the whole body, and then they have to die a slow death and be like Shashlik. So this is what he does. If you go, he will capture you, and then he will accuse you that you are spies and torture you to death. please go in the night. I will arrange a boat, and this boat will take you on the river through the kingdom of this king. I will give you a boatman and so on. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right. In the night, the boat came, and the governor informed the Lord, my Lord, the boat has come. So together with Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, and other associates, Lord Chaitanya went on this boat, which left the shore, and soon the boatman was taking it in midstream in the direction of the next kingdom. So in the midst of traveling, Lord Chaitanya ordered Mukunda, sing Mukunda. Mukunda looked at the Lord, really? But it's a pss, 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 pss. Isn't that for singing? You know, like when you steal a Mahasweet, will you start singing? You don't know, you're very pss, 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 pss. So in the same way, this was a pss, pss, pss situation, not a singing situation. But Lord Chaitanya again looked to Mukunda, sing Mukunda. And Lord Mukunda started to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But the boatman who was there said, what are you doing? Today we will be killed. On the bank of this river are tigers. Inside the river are crocodiles. On the road are thieves. And over and above all, there are the king's men who want to kill. They live by killing. Do you know this? Stop singing. Mukunda, you know, also started to be a little afraid. But Lord Chaitanya again looked at Mukunda and said, sing Mukunda, sing. And then he looked at the devotees. Why are you afraid? The Sudarshan Chakra is in front of this boat. Don't you see it? It always protects the Vaishnavas from all dangers. Sing the names of the Lord. And then all devotees began to sing again, and they had a wonderful kirtan. So wonderful that the boat rocked. Hare Krishna, and there was a very loud, you know, the lights went on the boats. They had an ecstatic kirtan. And they were protected by the Lord. So this is what you have to learn in your life. When a crisis comes, don't be dejected and depressed and stop your regular life. See that there is Krishna behind it. And turn to Krishna. Krishna, there's a lot of tapes which are turned now. Turn to Krishna, and then you will see how Krishna will arrange everything so that you are brought towards him. Don't make the mistake to become unhappy when there is distress or misery. See Krishna and you have something totally new. A problem which we will not talk about now will for sure come up in the question and answer session, you will see. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, do you have any questions to this? Do you understand this point? Misery is not bad. There is no good and no bad in this world. Our mind may sometimes become a little upset with things, but at the end, there is no good and there is no bad in this world. We have to tolerate what the material energy places in front of us. See Krishna behind everything. That is Krishna consciousness. So, do you have any questions? Gadadhar.
There seems to be a like two possibilities of going Suvans or going Suvans devotional life, then going back to Godhead. One is like performing the activities of devotional service and advancing like this in one's life. The other, maybe a little more, really some great arrangement of the Lord for him to go back home to Krishna very quickly and to maybe rectify something. So what should we expect something like this to happen in our life?
This is a very good question. There seem to be two lives in Krishna, two types of lives in Krishna consciousness. One is the devotee who performs patiently his devotional activities, and then there are also the dramatic devotee who gets into some very complicated situation and then turns to Krishna in some ways, like the example of Maharashtra Ketu, who got cursed by Parvati and became a terrible demon, Vritasura. So what way should we expect? I'm glad that you bring out these two ways. I have seen many times that even sometimes a very problematic devotee life ends gloriously, and it seems to be the plan of the Lord. I remember in our Heidelberg temple there was one devotee called Matsya Prabhu, and everyone thought of Matsya to be extremely sentimental, and no one liked him. Do you remember him, Vishwadev? He used to sometimes sit on the fenstersims, on the window sill, and just cry and cry. Matsya, what's up? Oh, I'm so fallen. I was born in Yugoslavia. And I have a very, I'm not saying that, Yugoslavia is a country like any other country, but he was humbly saying, like a German devotee will say, I'm born in Germany, I have no chance, like this. But what's... And Krishna is so nice, and then everyone said, yeah. Now, then he went like, And everyone thought he is the best of the Sahajiyas, really. This was the mood, because he was sometimes talking in ways about Krishna where devotees couldn't understand him. Then he went, the next thing we heard is that he went to Vrindavan, and there also no one liked him, and then he went to Radhakund and no one liked him there, and Jamashtami, was it the day after Jamashtami? I forgot, but maybe on Jamashtami, he died on Radhakund. Now when we heard this in Germany, we started to maybe not cry but to become sad. What a great soul! He has left. I know Vishnupadi, he said, he is a spiritual master, Matsya, that he went surely back to Godhead, which is a fact. Everyone who dies in these holy places goes back to Krishna. And I thought, oh Matsya, please forgive me, that I have thought sometimes that you are a little sentimental. I'm very sorry for this. In other words, his life was dramatic. He had a huge body, like a slone, like an elephant, and dramatic life. But Krishna took him at the end. But I don't think we should pray for this. Krishna, please finish my useless life and take me to him. No, this is not power devotee. Praise to Krishna. But I personally think we can take examples, the example of devotees like Maharashtra Ketu. Sometimes the progress in Krishna consciousness, on our progress, we go through some difficult situation. Sometimes we make mistakes. Yes, that's natural. Sometimes we are depressed on our way. That's also natural. But we should not think now, let's throw the towel, this is enough of it. No, we should know. Yeah. Something is happening, some purification, and so on. Yes. By the way, I personally think that almost all real devotees will go through tests like this. That's my observation. In really every devotee's life, there are times where he wants to maybe give up his service, where he wants to go to another country, not Germany, please, not Germany. Where he feels some strong desires in one direction, and you know, where he has even a phase where it's not so glorious, maybe his devotional life. I think everyone. What's about you? I think you also have sometimes these things happening, isn't it? No, never. I know Gadadhar has private life. he has this also. But then we can turn these situations into something glorious if we turn to Krishna. Here's another one, Jayadev.
I wonder if the pure devotee experiencing more difficulties or more distress, or is it less distress?
Is a pure devotee, as he advances, experiencing more distress or less distress? See, the devotee doesn't see it like this. He sees no distress. Wherever he turns his eyes, he sees only Krishna sending different things to him. But he is not... I remember once Prabhupada's comment when we presented a picture to him, and on this picture, so the devotees told him, Prabhupada, on this picture you look very sick. And it was a fact, he had one heart attack during this time. But Prabhupada says, no, I was in transcendental ecstasy. See, you are becoming doubtful. Is this correct what I'm hearing, or is my sleepy mind telling this to me? You have correctly heard. A devotee transcends the dualities of the material world. Matra spashash dukonteya, you know, he goes over this. He may externally say it's cold, it's, I'm suffering, I'm this and that, but... No, he understands something else.
My question is like this: when the distress darkness, then the bliss of the devotee darkness. More and more difficult in spiritual life.
And then he's more and more blissful. No. Not at all. It becomes easier in spiritual life. Yeah. Otherwise, I think we would all leave the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, but it's a fact. It becomes more and more easy in spiritual life. And even if there's distress, the devotee doesn't see it as such. Any other question? Manjulali. Go on. Manjulari says, how can we see distress a little bit more objectively and not so subjectively? And she explains her experience that when some other is in distress, we can preach to him or her, no problem. But when we are in distress, we can't think properly any longer and can't preach to us. Correct? Correct. So how to see it a little bit more objectively? Best is, as you have said, we should move a little bit outside of us, and you know, we should have association with devotees and talk with devotees. This evening I will give a lecture, Sunday today, yes, about this, the strengths which one can get in the Vaishnava association and how to get the strengths. Very often it helps to talk with devotees, and the devotee can tell, you know, because he has an outside situation, and he can tell you what's going on very often. Therefore it's so important to have the association of devotees. When we are in that association, we should help other devotees. Mm-hmm. Siamala. Yeah.
What to do if I feel disturbed because I've done something bad to somebody, but I didn't...
I'm sorry, I may not have got it. What to do when I feel disturbed because what?
I have done something bad to somebody.
Yes.
But I did it for the benefit of my spiritual life. For example, lying to parents.
Mm-hmm. And I'm disturbed because of this. This is a typical Balkanian question. What to do? But this is Germans have also typical questions. What to do when I feel bad because I had to do something bad for my spiritual life, like lying to my parents? Like, you may feel bad that you are now in Germany because you said to your parents, I'm going to see some violin school, maybe I'm, you know, one never knows, and so on. Oh, Krishna. I think you must become a grown-up person in relationship to your parents. That's the only solution. Hare Krishna, thank you. You are your own person. You are now above 18 years or 24 years and so on. And then you can, when you are a little bit more grown up, you can say to your parents, I'm going to Vyasa Puja. Haribol, please come also, or I can bring you some cake so that you get some. But when we live at home, what to do then? And sometimes we may have to, you know, somehow arrange it. You should know that when you are able to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, that will ultimately help your parents in a spiritual way also. Here was another question. Gaurashiromani.
Is it possible to cry out earnestly for the Lord while chanting the holy name like a child for his mother and at the same time be in a joyful mood?
Is it possible to cry out to the Lord like a child calls his mother in utter helplessness and then at the same time be in a joyful mood? No. But if you cry out like this to Krishna, you will come into a joyful mood after some time. Prabhupada once was asked by one of his devotees, Prabhupada, I can't chant, I can't concentrate my umski, my mind. It is not possible for me. Please, what shall I do? Prabhupada said, go to the forest or in the field and then just cry out, Hare Krishna, you know, with the top of the voice. And then, after some time, your mind will come. There are three things, attitudes, how one should chant. One is in a feeling of joy. Another is in a feeling of, you should have the feeling of attachment. My dear Krishna, I'm actually yours and you are actually mine. And then the feeling of confidence. Confidence means to be confident, happy. Yes, soon I will come to in Krishna consciousness, confidence. Then the chanting can be very blissful. Joy, attachment and confidence. And this is some instruction which you will find in Jaiva Dharma. Mm-hmm. Mangal Maya.
We heard also very nice explanations about how to resolve conflicts or crises, and there are different kinds of conflicts and crises which comes in different ways to us.
Yeah.
Because if we get the conflict from the outside person, we meet on the street, it's different, then we get conflict or crisis between our family, and this is much more hurting us also. And how to see Krishna there, because we also take devotees' concern very serious, because why we have this conflict with that person. So what?
Mangamaya very nicely explains that there are different types of crises and conflicts. One is from kamis, you who may be very aggressive towards us, but another is in the family, devotees, who we can't get along with. How to take that type of crisis? Well, you should see, obviously, where there is something which has to be corrected in yourself. I want to tell you a secret, Mangamaya, which I have noticed since many years. Many times devotees want to suffer. They don't want to let go of the misery. It sounds now, in the beginning, it sounds now totally strange. What? No one wants to suffer. But listen about the complicated psychology of the Western mind. Many times we go in certain thought patterns, Gedankenmuster, and we don't want to let go of these thoughts. We feel actually, when we are miserable like this, that we get some existence, some form of being. Someone recognizes us. I have disciples who always come to me, I'm miserable. The reason why they say it, one of the reasons is they want to be miserable, to be recognized. Like little children. Oh, mommy, mommy. Have you ever seen little children? You know, they come and there's really nothing so terribly wrong. But they go, wah, 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 wah. And then you go like... And then, something else comes up. That's one explanation. But this is on a very superficial level. There are also deeper levels in which we want to hold tight to our own sufferings, because we do not want to let go of certain thoughts. For instance, in relationships, we always do the same mistakes again and again. You know, there are marriage relationships inside and outside Krishna, outside and inside of Krishna consciousness, where again and again the people don't want to let go of the things which lead to misery, because they are attached to them in some way. Therefore Prabhupada in his books always writes, one shouldn't be attached to this mundane happiness, but also not to mundane distress. Have you read this? And you might have thought, what? It's a fact. People don't want to let go of their miseries. I want to tell you about something esoteric. There is one, there are most probably a million ways to heal yourself. And there's one way which is extremely effective. It's like a health meditation. You go and you sit like this and you pray to the Lord to please show the mercy. And then after some time, if you're doing it properly, this is even better than, this is more advanced than Reiki even, then you feel how some like energy, like a stream of water enters through your, you know, it is something esoteric, as I used to say, enters through your, this chakra, whatever, what is the chakra's name? Sahasra chakra. Yeah, the Sahasra chakra. You feel it's like, and it goes throughout your body and heals you. But there is one condition. If you think about your disease, which you want to be healed of, it doesn't work any longer. Because you think negatively about something material. It really works. When I can't sleep, then I do this. Because this is the best way to put me to sleep, you know. So all of a sudden it starts. You can't think about your disease. You can watch your body, what happens, but you can't think about your disease. The moment it happens, you are out. It really works. Maybe I have to give a separate seminar on this. How to heal yourself. So this is also, if you want to be healed in Krishna consciousness, if you always think about your nonsense little problem, it does not work like this. You will not be healed. You will see. Mangamaya, I hope you will celebrate Nityananda's appearance day here. There's a wonderful celebration. Have we not sometimes seen when we are in a celebration, in a festival, our Krishna conscious spirits are uplifted? And then, where is the problem? I can't see the problem any longer. Because you have solved your problem in a different way. You have gone a level upwards. You have left loose, you have let gone of your problems, keys. I was telling yesterday some devotees who visited me, once there was a sadhu who was known to be a problem solver, and he came to a village. And now all the people waited since half a year for his visit, and they had made a long list of their private problems. And everyone came with their notebooks to put, to ask for solutions for their problems. My neighbor doesn't like me. What to do? My children don't feel any comfort at home. What to do? You know, it's problems, human problems. So the sadhu knew about this. There were like millions of lists, maybe not millions, but 20,000 or how big the village was, the town was. But so he sat down and he said, "Let's sing." He took a pair of kartals and started kirtan. And then, after an hour or so, he rose up to his feet and he started to dance Hare Krishna singing. Then he looked at the people and he asked them to dance also. They had a long kirtan. Then the sadhu looked, sat down and asked and said only one sentence: "I think I have answered all your questions." Now we sometimes and they all said yes. I think we all have made this experience. We come to our spiritual master, we come in the room of Sri Vishnu Park, finally we made it, we drove 2,000 kilometers, we have a list of problems, and we come in, it's a different atmosphere altogether. He looks at us, smiles at us, says Hare Krishna. And he looks with eyes full of compassion. And we melt. And what is your problem? then we are back in the car and we drive home. Then after 50 kilometers we think, oh no, why didn't I say what is my problem? Then after 100 kilometers, the problem is bigger. After 1,000 kilometers, we feel like turning back and driving this time around. In other words, the problems come back again. What has happened? In the presence of a saint, of a sadhu, we have been our spiritual master, we have been lifted to a higher platform, from where the small things don't appear so important any longer. But then when we left his presence, we have come back, everything is normal, on the mental platform again. So in Krishna consciousness, really you have to think about how can you, you know, after having gone up, put maybe like a stopper, so that you that you don't go down again. This is something you have to think about in your lives. On a platform of Krishna consciousness, there is no problem. Listen to this. Everyone is thinking, oh, there are so many problems I have to solve. But he has no problem. His only problem is how to accept Krishna. That's all. I somehow like these sentences of Srila Prabhupada so much. So much from the transcendental platform. That's the power of the sadhu. He can lift us out of the world. And so on. And we have to learn how we can remain on this platform. That's our work. That's what here, this is our work. Now that it goes up and down, down the roller coaster. We must be prepared to let go of the problems. Do you know people who are haunted by ghosts? Do you know that they secretly like to be haunted by ghosts? I could now get very esoteric, but one time is enough. One time is just enough. Yes, many times we don't want to let go. We're so accustomed. We can't imagine, you know, we think the problems are part of me, like a black dress, which we somehow like. We like to dress our mind in our problems. You have no problem. Because you are a part of Krishna. I'm saying, Mangamaya has also no problems, but I'm saying you, the universal you.
Bhagavad Gita says that we should not be, when enlightenment comes or when it goes away, we should not be
dressed when it goes, yes.
How is that? Because when one is enlightened,
it's so nice, yeah.
Yeah, then when ignorance comes, it's just suffering conditions.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ramapriya asks a very good, philosophical question. In the Gita, it's in the 14th chapter, I believe. It says one shouldn't be happy when enlightenment comes and not be sad when it goes away, but enlightenment is such a nice thing. One feels so Krishna conscious, and then when it goes away, it seems to be just very natural to be sad. This part of the Bhagavad Gita, where this verse comes, is in the 14th chapter, where the modes of nature are discussed. And there are three different states of mind which are influenced by the modes. Do we have... I almost said your name, Gita. English or Deutsche, Gita? Not really. We have... states of mind which come by the mode of ignorance are sadness and depression. What happens when you are in the mode of passion is your mind gets very attached to something. And when you are in the mode of goodness, what happens to your mind is that you are illumined. illuminated. You are in Krishna consciousness. So, not in Krishna consciousness, you are in a state of mind where Krishna consciousness is easier. But the goal of Krishna consciousness is really to become totally free from all the modes. Because, as Prabhupada says, when a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. So, the art of Krishna consciousness is to become aloof, that is, separate from the materially influenced moods of the mind. Material happiness, that is goodness, material attachment, that is rajagun, and material ignorance, which is delusion, toishong. So Prabhupada says, how does he become aloof? You know, how do we become aloof? He says, he does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature separately. So, in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, we don't become so much greedy after happiness in the mode of goodness, because it will go. I was thinking about this when I stayed in Karuna Bhavan. You know, when you come and visit me in Karuna Bhavan, and we do have darshan times where devotees can see Radha Konya Bihari. It's such a mode of goodness place, isn't it, Vishwadev? There are walls with stones and made with clay, and it's so good. And I was so happy after a long tour to be there. The next thing about I hear is a tractor. Then I look outside. Then the way is all dirty from the mud of the tractor, and then plowing is going on. And I'm thinking, no, that I didn't see, but I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Krishna. I have noticed there's no place in this world to be happy. It just doesn't work. But if you are on transcendental happiness and not just in the mode of goodness, then you will not be shaken by what is in the world. You know, it doesn't affect you any longer. This we have to try for. This is our goal. It is difficult, Ramapriya. It is really difficult, because you are right. When our mind is in the mode of goodness, it's much easier to practice Krishna consciousness than if we are attached or full of delusion. But ultimately, we want to go back home, back to Krishna. That's only possible if we are free from the influence of the modes of material nature. Yeah. There's a Sanskrit word about the devotee. Tulya. Tulya is what you should strive for. Or sama is also used. Tulya means equally disposed. And sama means equally, equal vision. Because if you are in the mode of goodness, it will turn into passionate ignorance at one stage. It's not a safe place. Only Krishna consciousness is. Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. In Kunti, she loves the brain, she in the Bible, that may all these calamities
happen again and again.
Yeah. So we can see her lotus face, and then there is no more repeated birth and death. Can we also pray like that? Or is it maybe too advanced?
I don't know how advanced you personally are, because I don't know you so well. our devotee asked, should we pray like Queen Kunti for miseries to come and again, because Kunti said she could see Krishna again. I don't know. If you ask me, why should we pray for miseries? They come anyways. This is my unadvanced answer. But there may be devotees who pray for. I can't imagine doing this. We should pray. But you know, let us answer the question positively. For what should we pray? We should pray to have the strength to serve Krishna in happiness and misery, whatever happens. This is our prayer. I know that sometimes devotees pray for miseries because they don't want to go on sankirtan. Please make me sick. I remember now at sankirtan party, there was one devotee who was, you know, one day I caught him and I said, you have prayed to become sick, to not go on sankirtan. Is it right or is it wrong? I myself have also, at one time in my life, I prayed to become sick, but in order to not go on sankirtan, and I think it's wrong to do this. You know, it was so cold, and we were in Hildesheim, and Hildesheim is double as cold. You know, it's in North Germany, and the people are from Hildesheim. At least for me, it was not easy to communicate. Hannover is something different, but Hildesheim. Hildesheim. And anyway, so it was. So I prayed to become sick, I prayed. It made me really sick. That really someone see that my sankirtan leader, you know, sends me home at Schloss Reddershof, and then I can. And I got it so badly, you know, I got it so bad. At that time, I didn't pray any longer to be sick. I said, Krishna, save me. I got it so bad. Oh no. Never again I want to be sick like this. Krishna, I think Krishna taught me a lesson personally. Rasa Mandala. Yeah. Sri Radha Prabhu also says like that we should pray, they come automatically by praying for them.
Durch deine Ausführungen habe ich jetzt verstanden, was also unser Problem eigentlich unser Körper ist. Und wir haben doch nur diesen Körper.
Nee, das habe ich nicht gesagt.
Wir haben uns zu sehr mit Körper identifizieren.
No. I know that, Karl, that you like your body and you don't want to hear it's not good. It was not the point. The point is that sometimes we become depressed in this world. And then at that moment, we should see Krishna. That was the point. But I know your underlying fear. Your fear is, oh, these devotees talk so much against the body sometimes in Krishna consciousness, and that's not good. We have the body, we have to do something with it. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Good, we will now have our last question and then end this.
I would like to know, because Prabhupada said they should become Krishna conscious, we only have to understand and to accept. But by exception,
Prabhupada says to become Krishna conscious we only have to understand and accept. The very nice little one of Srila Prabhupada's very wise formulas. And Vida asks, why don't we just understand and accept then? Well, we are conditioned souls, and since time immemorial we have been against Krishna. We have not accepted Krishna, so therefore, problem. as more and more we practice Krishna consciousness, we will come to understand and accept. It's a gradual process. It can't happen overnight, because it's almost like if I say to you, Vida, change your habit of eating too much sweets overnight. I don't think you have this habit, but just as an example. But this is not how it works. It will take some time, to change habits. We have to, there's a whole many understand, we have to change. It takes time, it's a work. Habits are very strong. We are habituated to not understand Krishna and not accept Krishna. This is our unfortunate position. So let us become purified, and then naturally we will understand, naturally we will accept. Sorry, I can't give such a complicated, such an analytical answer. It's really only as simple as that. It's a question of purification of the mind. So now, before you all leave, some announcements will come. I just want to also say something which I have at the end, some practical thing. But I think the practical thing sets announced by the others. I always try to do everything. Let us pay our obeisances and then stay here to listen to the announcements. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Gau Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.
This divine grace, Srila Satchinanda Maharaj ki jai.